Hey friends, it's Heather. Okay, you guys are my people, my podcast friends and neighbors, and I'm so excited. I wrote a children's book. Can you believe it? It's my very first children's book. It's called Different, A Great Thing to Be. It stars our girl, Macy, who is a lot like you and me, but she's also quite different, which is a great thing to be. I wrote this for all of us, for your kids, for my kids, for all of the kids. And what may be one of the greatest thrills of my whole life is Different is a New York Times best-selling book. That's right, you heard it here. I'm now a New York Times best-selling author. I'm so excited for this book to make its way onto your bookshelves as together we celebrate the different in all of us. To learn more, you can head over to heatheravis.com/different. Okay, this is episode 145. Happy New Year. Oh, this is our new intro. Okay, here we go. Ladies. Hi.
Hi.
Happy January.
Woo! Happy New Year.
It's a new year and it's time for a song.
Song that ends in 22. Ooh. A song that always starts with you.
A song that makes you feel brand new. That was good.
Song that overcomes the blues.
Yes.
Yeah.
I have nothing to add.
Yeah. Mercedes is going to work on this in her free time.
Me too. I was like thinking of all the rhyming words I could. I was like, oh my gosh.
So much rhymes with the word too.
It really does.
Yeah.
This is a great year for rhyming, everyone.
Okay. Oh, maybe that's our resolution. We'll find out. Find out, listeners. Okay. Okay. That's that with those shenanigans. Ladies. Let's shout some more and let's shift some narratives for people with Down syndrome. Hey everyone, welcome to the Lucky Few podcast. It's our first episode of the new year. Hey friends, happy new year. It's Heather here. So let's talk about something. Let's talk about the fact that if you're a mom listening, you know that we spend so much time and energy as moms supporting our kid with Down syndrome, and all too often our own health, it takes the back burner. Things like, I don't know, getting enough rest, regular exercise, making healthy meals become afterthoughts, and it leaves us physically and mentally exhausted. Anyone else agree with this? Our needs as moms are legitimate, and when we put on our own oxygen mask first by staying healthy, we are better able to care for our kids. Our energy improves, our mood improves, and we feel strong and capable as moms. We don't need diets and crazy exercise programs to be healthy, but instead we need to care for ourselves by eating nourishing foods, moving daily, resting, and all kinds of stress management. It's really hard to do, right? Here's the thing. Megan over at Oxygen Fitness offers online group coaching programs for moms just like us. There's a 12-week mom restore system for busy moms suffering from low energy who want to improve their health without strict diets and hours at the gym. My hand is up for that one. There's the 20-minute boost program, and it's a daily 20-minute workout you can do right in your home and even with your kids to improve your strength, your fitness, and your flexibility. The thing is, working with a coach and a group of other moms who understand where you're coming from, it changes everything. You'll never feel alone on your health journey, and that is so very important. Go ahead and follow Oxygen Fitness Coaching over on Instagram at Oxygen Fitness Coach, and also the same on Facebook. We hope that you take some time to look into this and think about yourself right now. And if you decide that this is something you want to invest in, go ahead and mention the Lucky Few podcast, and you can use coupon code LUCKYFEW to get your first month free. Okay. Hi, friends. Hi again. I know I already said hi at the start here.
Can there ever be enough hi?
No. Well, I don't know. I'm going to think on that a little bit.
Okay.
I'll get back to you. It's been a bit. I loved our throwback episodes. Good work with that, everyone who listened. I'm asking the listeners to raise your hand. Raise your hand if you listen to the throwbacks. That's good. Those were great.
Thanks for the hands. I see you.
And we had holidays, as in Christmas, Kwanzaa, Hanukkah, New Year's. Kids are back in school. Mm-hmm. It's been like a long time.
We had Omicron.
We have Omicron. It's here. Thanks, Omicron, for ruining things.
Oh my gosh.
How was everyone's holiday? Let's start with that. Let's do a quick little holiday catch up.
I'll let you ladies go first.
Okay, mine's short and sweet. It was good. What did we do? We stuck home. Everybody around us was getting COVID during that time. So we kind of stayed to ourselves in our little bubble when it came closer to Christmas, because we were going to have family coming into town. So we kind of self-quarantined for like a week prior to Christmas and only saw like my mom and family. And then Andy's family came into a town. And so we did one Christmas. And then after Christmas, we did a second Christmas with his family. We hosted, and it was really fun. And then I was done. I was like, okay, we've done Christmas for a really long time. We're done. And it was raining here, so I felt like we got Christmas weather. Yeah, it was just simple. It was sweet. It was quiet. And then January. And this actually is the first time where I felt that a shift in schedule kind of affected Sunflower. A shift in schedule and then people staying at our house. This was the first time where it was kind of like a little bit of, oh, okay, I'm seeing that this is triggering something within you, Sunny. Let's figure it out. So that was good. I feel like that's coming as she gets older, you know, and she has her space and routines. She's actually pretty adaptable to routine, but, I think space, I know she's an introvert. So just a busy household just like exhausted her, and kind of it was raining outside, so we couldn't be out as often, which she's a very physically motivated person. So it was, the holidays were good, but I was like, ooh, I feel like we're navigating this new, I don't know, thing. You know how you would talk about that, Heather, with Macy, with like holidays. And I kind of would see it with Sunny, but not really. But this holiday, I was like, oh, this is a lot of moving and shaking for her. This is a lot of anticipating so-and-so is coming. Be excited. But it was almost like the anticipation would either make her grumpy or overwhelm her. And then they would finally be there. And it was like, why are you here? You know, because she could get turned off a little bit by people, which is so opposite of my personality. So I'd be like, Sunny, get it together. The show is on, you know, like, we are hosting. But it was fine. We navigated through that, but I definitely am going to be more aware of that for next time we have family in town and we're hosting them. Just how to equip Sunny, whatever that means.
Yeah. What does that look like? Cause you said like, there's a shift, you notice a shift in her or something. What does that look like?
So the biggest thing is sleeping arrangements, right? So like now there's people sleep in our house. So it went, for a few days we had Auntie Nellie, which is Andy's sister, Janelle, and then mom and dad. So we just shifted who slept where, right? And so, and Sunflower would wake up and like walk to each room to see who was sleeping where, even though she knew, she went to bed knowing, but it was almost like she had to see still what was going on, because that's different, right? So I'm a light sleeper, and I was sleeping in her room that she shares with Brave, and usually she sleeps through the night, but yeah, she was kind of getting up through the night, and then she was getting up early, also excited that people are there, you know? So like early, she already wakes up at 6 a.m. So early was like 4:30 or 5 a.m. And now like we're hosting people who are on East Coast time too. So they were kind of already getting up, but that meant then I was getting up to make breakfast. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I was like, okay, guys, I'm a gracious host, but I need somebody else to start cooking eggs around here at 5:36 a.m. But so I felt like, so the early mornings started early, you know, she doesn't nap. So then Not saying it was just a really long day of sunflower, but it was just a really long day of sunflower, you know, because then you go to bed later because now we're like playing cards, you know, it's just the whole, it's sleep is a thing. And then diet, I felt like we were eating out or ordering food to pick up. So then her diet was affected, even though I would try and keep her on her diet, but no, I was not trying to be rigid too, because we were, it was just so much surrounds hosting and then having our normal family rhythm, which is not a typical rhythm for, I guess, a mainstream family, disruptive, you know? Yeah. What is that? That's what it looks like. And so I don't know how to fix it, but I know I highlighted reasons as to where we went wrong.
This is my new realization. I know it's not my turn yet, but we got a tent for Ace for his bed, back in October, November, and it's amazing. And it's made such a difference. And I was like, we are taking that tent with us everywhere from now on. Yes. And that made a world of difference in being away from home.
Yeah.
To have just a tent around the bed, right. Like that contains him. Yeah. So that's my new suggestion for the whole world. Yes. All parents of children who struggle with sleep, like zip them up in a tent. It doesn't mean they can't unzip it.
Right.
But it like that, just having that presence there, mm-hmm. that becomes the room. So I feel like I can put him in any room now, as long as he has his tent, then he feels safe and secure. And
he knows
it's normal.
What to do. It's within his walls, it's his control, you know. I think that's so much for Sunflower too. Like we did a tent for a little while and then we moved to like a baby gate at her door, and then slowly she just sleeps in her bed and her door is slightly open. She loves that Brave sharing a room with her, but that other element of adding other people, I'm like, oh wow, I didn't see this coming. But I do see how her world, her little tent was disrupted and she like had to keep checking on it on the outside, you know?
Yeah, totally.
No, so we'll figure it out. Or I just have to tell everybody to get a hotel. I don't know. I don't know.
I like your extremes.
I know.
Or no one's ever allowed in my house again overnight. It's
I can't
fine.
Host.
That's
okay,
it.
Okay, everybody.
That's it. Never come over. That's too funny. So this year for Christmas, it was our first time ever waking up in our own home with no one there. And since having kids, ever. I mean, Josh and I it was never the two of us. So we do it very strict every other year, Josh's family, my family for Christmas. We established this as soon as we got married. So there's no one needs to wonder what's coming and get their feelings hurt. Their feelings can be hurt, but it's unreasonable because they've known.
They're aware
for almost 20 years of our marriage that it's every other year. And my sisters do the same. So then we're on the same track, right? We were open to hosting Christmas for everybody, but then a lot of people wanted to be home and that was great. So what that meant was Josh's parents joined us and one of Josh's aunts and uncles from Northern California and his aunt from Southern California at our house. They came around noon. And it was the best. Yeah. So Christmas Eve, we did church and actually some really good friends in our neighborhood invited us over to their house Christmas Eve. And that was so fun with their whole family and then us. And then we did our Christmas morning and we do like ease in, you know, like everyone did their stocking and then we do breakfast and it's like one at a time presents. We take a long time and I get to have total control, which I don't need control. I like it. Every Christmas, it's like chaos. It's so many people, either side of the family. It's so many people. And I'm there for it. I'm not mad about it, but it was like, oh, this is so, we're just doing it our way.
Yeah.
And then around 11:30, people started to trickle in. And then I said, the thing I want for Christmas is I want to make the whole dinner by myself. And I want, and so then everyone can either be in the kitchen with me, and people can help, but I'm not in charge of anything outside of the meal while it's meal prep time. And I went through all my cookbooks and picked some recipes I've been excited to try and made a big, huge dinner for everybody. And it was so lovely. And then our school district is 3 weeks off. So it's the week before Christmas. Christmas was a Saturday and then 2 weeks. So that next week is like, great. And then that third week, you're like, what? the bleep are we doing? Like, this is so much time. What are we going to do this week? You know? And then Josh and I both work from home, so it's super easy to not work.
Yeah.
It's not good. And then there we are, just all together. And then Omicron's a thing. And you can't really, do you see people? Do you not? This is all very, everything just gets more and more confusing with this stupid coronavirus 2 years in.
Flu Rona was the one that was going around here. Flu Rona. Cause it was like Corona and then you got the flu or the,
I don't know.
It was like a double whammy. Did you
double whammy? I don't know. Anyway, I'm sound like I'm complaining. I'm not, it was, I'm a go, go, go person. Like if someone's like, you've got 3 weeks off, what are you going to do? Staying home is the last thing on my list. I'm like, oh my gosh, right. I've got 500 things in place, things to do and places to go. And it involves lots of things that are happening and a lot of people. And I just want to be doing fun things with people all the time. That's what I want in life. Yay. And so then it was 3 weeks with mostly the five of us. And it was very good for me. Mm-hmm. It's a good discipline for me to it's good for me to work through that feeling. I feel a lot of guilt if there's not stuff going on and sleeping till like eight, sometimes even eight, like being in bed till eight, not asleep. That's not a thing, but like we're all laying in bed every day till 8 o'clock in the morning. Like the kids are all in bed with us and that makes me feel guilty. Mm-hmm. So figuring out where that's coming from and having enough days of that to be like, wait, this is fine. This is good. And so going back into break, going back into school that it was actually exactly what I needed. Cause school's been a doozy, which we'll talk about in another episode. It's been horrendous. And even like the Wednesday before Christmas break, that last Wednesday was the worst IEP meeting I've ever been a part of in my 13 years of doing this or 10. So I needed that time to just, I realized at the end of it, how much I needed that time to like detach completely from school and to not have obligations. So it was lovely. Yeah, it was great. That's me.
That's amazing. I love it. You know how I love it when people rest.
I know you do. I thought of you a lot. I thought.
Yes.
Modeling Mike is here for this.
Good.
Slow way.
Good.
Yes. Good. I listened to your podcast. It's so helpful. Before you tell us about your break, will you tell everyone about your podcast?
Yeah. Early December, I started a podcast that's just me talking slowly and trying to be wise. Not really. But yeah. And it's a contemplative podcast. So it's where I'm talking about things I'm really passionate about Christian spirituality, about discovering new ways of prayer and coming close to God and connecting with faith. So it's called the Slow Way podcast. It's out there in the world. We'll link to it in the show notes. But in December, it was biweekly during Advent leading up to Christmas. And then now it is once a week, every Tuesday, same day as the Lucky Few. So you can hop over there and subscribe and get at the same time. But it's meant to be just a 15-minute time of quieting yourself down and reflecting and spending time in prayer in maybe new ways that, you know, using your imagination, like breathing, doing things that are maybe different than what you know, especially for people who've grown up kind of in the Christian faith or the evangelical Christian faith. It's a little different and it might feel weird or hard, but I'm hoping it's a space where everyone feels welcome, whether you identify as Christian or not. And, you know, we're talking about deep things, being slow and being quiet. So try it with me. Yay. Woo-hoo. Thanks for asking, Heather.
Yeah, no, I love it. It's really helpful in my life. For real. And I love that people can get subscribe and get back to back doses of Micah.
Yeah.
Micah Boyette, I'll take it every day. I'd like some back-to-back doses of Micah.
Oh, thanks.
Micah, tell us a little bit about your break and your holiday this year.
Okay. You know, I'm just going to be real and honest, you guys. It's been a really hard 6 weeks. I think I've shared on here. I know I've been open on Instagram about that a year ago. Last week, my dad was diagnosed with brain cancer. And so I've been walking through that for the past year. My dad passed away December 16th. So I was able to, I was telling the girls earlier, like, I feel really grateful for just that I had the ability to be with him a lot in these last months, even though he was in Texas. So I had a friend whose dad died of brain cancer 5 years ago. And she said to me at the beginning of this, like, any chance you have to be with him, go be with him. And so Chris, my husband, has been really supportive. I opened it up to the kids, like, whenever you want to go with me, you can go with me. And so I had monthly trips down to be with my dad basically since last winter. And I was able to get there 4 days before he died and spend those days caring for him and being with my brothers. And, you know, one of the sweetest things is, like, the night before he died, it was the five of us in the house I grew up in, which was, you know, the first time in like 30 years that it was just the five of us at our house. And, you know, just keeping vigil with my dad. So I was there with my mom for a while. Ace took 2 weeks of bereavement leave from school. Yes. And he was with me and I just got back. We topped off the month with my husband. Chris had a work thing in Hawaii, which is like, who has a work thing in Hawaii? First of all, come on, startup life. But we hopped on to that trip and got a ticket for my mom too, and took her to Hawaii last week. And that was really just sweet and healing and good time for us as a family. I'll just add that I think I just feel really grateful for my brothers and just to be in a family where everybody was part of this. Like, we all were together with my dad. We all grieved together, meals every night, all the cousins together. It was just a really sweet week after he died, and all the Southern Baptist lady casseroles in the world, and just love that culture I came from. And then just doing all the hard stuff that comes after someone has died. Like, it's so unfair that while grieving, you have to think about bank accounts and savings accounts and life insurance and all of that, but done a lot of that too. And so now I am back at home and kind of learning what grief looks like in the aftermath of all the stuff you do after someone passes away. And I'm here for it, you know, but like, it's going to be a new world. I've lost friends before. I've lost grandparents, but losing someone so vital and close in my life it's a kind of grief that I'm going to carry and work through for a long time.
Yeah. I'm so sorry, Micah, for your loss. And thanks for sharing that.
Thanks for asking me.
Yeah.
And yeah, it was also, I will say, it was a sweet Christmas. It was, you know, just a little over a week after he died, or just a week. And I'm just really grateful that we could all have Christmas together and find some joy. And it was joyful. So
I'm glad to hear that, because I know that we had talked, that was like it being so close to Christmas felt, how is that going to be? Like you shared that. Who was there for Christmas? Was it everybody still or like all the cousins
it was,
and everybody?
Yeah, it was everybody still. Okay. I have one aunt who went back to be with her family who was with us the week before, mm-hmm. but all of my nieces and nephews oh. and my kids and my brothers and sisters-in-law and my mom. So my aunts. So it was my mom. She loves Christmas. And she was like, we are going to have a great Christmas. And so she made it happen. And I was proud of her.
Good.
Yeah.
Good. We can talk about this on a future episode if you'd want to, but and I'm sure our listeners would love to hear about Ace and how you process through something like this with him. Mm-hmm. And you've shared a little bit. Did you share it on Instagram or we've just talked about it?
I think I shared on Instagram.
Okay. Yeah. But even as it unfolds, you know, like this, it's not like, oh, you're done grieving. Like you're in it for a long time. And so is he. And as certain things come up, I would love to have you share about that if you're open to it.
Yeah. Yeah. That would be a really interesting episode to have too. Just like helping our kids, walk through grief.
Yeah.
And what I shared on Instagram was that I made a social story, which I was working on the plane flying to my dad while he was still alive. And which was, you know, I'm like sobbing on the plane trying to write this social story for Ace. But yeah, it's a really tricky thing. It's really hard to know what he understands and what he doesn't. And I've sort of taken, you know, of all the things we've talked about on this podcast of how do we talk to our kids about things that are important? You know, like when we've talked mm-hmm. about sex and sexual abuse and how to help our kids understand, it's always repetition, right? It's always mm-hmm. like having the same conversation. And so far, that's all I know to do is I keep talking about Pops. I keep talking about how we miss him and how we love him and how it's hard. Mm-hmm. And, you know, maybe it's making sense to him.
How is that repetition for you?
It's really hard. Yeah. I don't want to do it. Yeah. I don't want to do it. Yeah. You know, even things that, you know, I haven't talked to Ace a lot about like heaven, you know, things that abstract things are hard to talk about with our kids. And so even in the language that I used in the social story, I talked about how Pops is with God and that Ace won't see him for a really long time, but then sometime Ace is going to go be with God too. And so, you know, I'm trying to just kind of repeat that language mm-hmm. as much as I can.
Yeah. I just find it so beautiful, your vulnerability and sharing and taking us along with you on your Instagram with writing and I don't know, and equipping us. I know when Andy's grandma passed away, having that conversation then with our kiddos, but then, yeah, like you were saying, then it like trickled into, okay, heaven and then death. And then one day you'll be in heaven. And then I'm like, okay, but a long time from now, like it's so wild how it does, like it's pieces of a continual bigger conversation and all these other elements. So, and I've never thought of it specifically for Sunflower. And I feel like a social stories does feel like the best way, you know, in repetition. You know.
Yeah.
Thank you for sharing, Micah.
You're welcome.
And, yeah. And I think like how you just said, how do we transition from that? We just live in such a culture that is like, can we put a bow around this and move mm-hmm. on, you know?
Yeah. Right.
And that's just what grief is. And this is not at all in a comparison, but even I think that lesson of, we don't put a nice, there's not a way to transition it with a nice neat bow is a lesson my kids with Down syndrome have invited me into, that idea of like attention.
Yeah.
That it's it's really hard and good things happen and it's all at the same time.
Yeah.
And holding time. That and not that we are that lesson of learning to not put a nice neat bow around things and maybe the transition is just awkward. For a very long time.
Yeah. And the continued conversation. I just love that reminder because it does kind of come up. Like, I feel like as kids will process things in a new way with their maturity too. Right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I don't know. Really beautiful, Micah. I'm excited for that future episode because I feel like there's a lot to unpack there, yeah. You know, even yeah. with the faith. Like I always talk about like, I want Sunflower to have a faith with God and I know she will, but it kind of goes into that too. Like,
hey, I know. Yeah. We're going to take a little break, hear from a sponsor this week, and then we're going to come back. All right. A message to all the mamas out there. Our needs as mom, they are legitimate. And when we put on our own oxygen mask first by staying healthy, we are better able to care for our kids. Our energy improves, our mood improves, and we feel strong and capable as a mom. The thing about it is, this isn't something that we can do alone all the time. And so that's why we're really excited to share with you about Oxygen Fitness. Oxygen Fitness, which is started by and run by Megan, who happens to be a mom of a child with Down syndrome, offers online coaching programs for special needs moms. Head on over to Oxygen Fit Coach on Instagram and Facebook. That's Oxygen Fit Coach. And use code LUCKYFEW to get your first month free. To learn more, you can go to Instagram or Facebook at Oxygen Fit Coach. Use code LUCKYFEW at checkout to get your first month free. Hi friends, Heather here. So we launched a thing called This is Down Syndrome. It is a global movement to shift the Down Syndrome narrative. With storytelling and relationship at its core, This is Down Syndrome will offer an expansive, relatable and transformative look into what it really means to live with Down syndrome. So through powerful images and bite-sized engaging stories, we will show a variety of aspects of living with Down syndrome. We will do this by photographing and highlighting not only people who have Down syndrome, but their parents, siblings, grandparents, extended family members, friends, anybody connected to a person with Down syndrome. You can go to thisisdownsyndrome.com or on Instagram, we are this.is.down.syndrome to learn more.
Okay. to move forward, I'd love to share an awesome review with all of you from a listener. Courtney Ruth 123 says, I can't stop listening. I've been binging this podcast and I can say it has been so helpful in my life. It's a must listen to any new parent of a child with Down syndrome. I'm a foster parent who has a sweet little baby girl with Down syndrome who has medical issues, and I felt like I had been plunged into the Down syndrome community with very little information and preparation. This podcast has been so helpful, informational, and has helped me learn how to be a better advocate for my foster baby. Thanks, ladies. Oh, so sweet. Awesome.
I want a foster baby. How cute.
Oh, Courtney, thank you for that. And I'm excited for you to be holding on to this little baby girl for as long as you do. Don't forget to review the show, friends, on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts so we can read it out loud. Possibly next week. And we love reading these and we appreciate your support so, so much.
All right. Well, I mean, it's New Year's still sort of kind of, right?
It takes a month for me to get into
the yeah. New
Year's. It's new. It is New Year's. I do also feel like I think the year's almost done. Just kidding.
I know I'm kidding. Started.
We just started. And also what? It's already January. Yeah. Well, we're recording this January 19th. Ay, ay, ay.
I feel like the new year for me always starts in February because we've just come off of the holidays, right? And then there's this like lull of a break and then you get into a routine. I guess if you're with parents with school age children, it could feel that way, right? Like the schedule is so much still not your schedule.
Yes.
So I feel like February is my New Year. So I think we could say New Year's.
Okay, let's say it. Let's say it. Do you guys have any resolutions? Or did you, how did you do with your resolutions last year? Last year we had like a, we forced ourselves to listen to our resolutions from the year before. We're not making ourselves do that this year. That was too hard.
Yeah, I'll go first because my resolutions last year were just sort of a joke and a joke. I said I was going to learn to do the worm and that I was going to learn the choreography for a Beyonce song.
Single Ladies.
So I went online to YouTube a few times to look up the choreo, like how do I learn a Beyonce choreography? I'm not a choreographer. I don't know if you guys knew that. I have a lot of hidden gifts and talents.
You got a lot of sweet moves though.
But choreography is not one. And so then how do you learn the moves? You can't just watch it and then do it, mm-hmm. right? If you're not a choreographer. And I couldn't find anything online that taught me. So I obviously didn't look hard enough, but I did find one that was like Single Ladies. It was so fast and I gave up. Also, it was very silly and learning it would really not advance my life in any way. And I didn't do it. So there, I failed. Number one, fail. Josh needs to edit in a big like meh noise. My second one was to do the worm. So I did try and I don't know that I can do the worm. I learned, I got on my stomach and someone taught me how and you rock. I'm rocking, everyone that can't see me. And then you kick your feet and you kick your feet and you kick your feet. Do you guys have to do the worm? Have you tried the worm?
I can do the worm.
I'm pretty good at it, but I also-
Oh my gosh, you guys do it. You didn't tell me this.
I wanted you to have your moment.
Oh man.
You needed to learn it. I feel like I know it.
I can't, I'm not good at it. So I learned, go ahead, Merce. No, go.
I was going to say that. I feel like it's hard. I feel like in my older age, I'm not as suave at it. I think I even hit my chin one time, but it's kind of hard on the boobas.
The girls.
Too. Yeah, it is.
The girls. But I mean, it's possible, but not necessary.
Yeah. Yeah. So I did try it and I could practice more. Again, why? So I think that the thing that I learned is choose better resolutions, you know, like, come on. So I do have two this year that are very attainable and good for me. And I've done them every day. One is, you guys, it's silly. They're silly, but it's something like, how have I not done this? Oh gosh. We talk about all the things we talked about with Micah. And then what does Heather have to say this episode? Well, I started taking collagen, like scoop it. You scoop it in your coffee.
Yeah.
And it's like good for you in all these ways. And I've had it for, I don't know, 6 or 8 months, these canisters that are on a renewal. Every 45 days, I get a new thing.
So you were collecting. I've done that.
I've been collecting collagen.
You just call me a collagen collector.
I need to put a scoop in my coffee every morning. It's not a big deal. It doesn't change how it tastes. So that was one of my resolutions. I've had collagen every day for 19 days. And then 100 ab exercises. So a day.
Great.
So like a crunch or a sit up. My preferred ab exercises are with sliders. Those round things you put on your feet, like you're in plank position, right?
Or class.
Yeah. And you do like a mountain climber. So a right left counts as one for me, or you do like a jack, like your legs go out and in like a split with a slider. Everyone picturing this, or you do an in and out, like a both feet in, both feet out.
Ooh, okay.
With the slider. So 100 of those a day.
That's amazing.
Excellent. So I've done that every day.
You've done that? And how long does that take you? Are you like watching a show while you do it?
I'm watching a show. Sometimes it's like 10:30 at night and I'm like, bleep, an explicit word that I don't say on the podcast. I got to do my 100. And then you do, because it takes, and then if that's the case and I'm in my room, I'll just do sit-ups real quick, like 100 crunches.
Yeah.
And so I'm doing that every day. So by the end of the year, do the math, 35,600. That's what it is.
Yes.
36,500. God bless.
That's it.
Also, my third resolution starting right now is getting better at math.
Oh, gosh.
No, that's it. Those are my, those are my New Year's resolutions. So far, I'm slaying it. Also, both things are really good for me. And
oh my gosh, 100%.
There you go. Passing on the torch to Micah, do you have any resolutions and how'd you do a lot this past year?
Well, I don't really remember what my resolutions were last year, except for one that was like, I want to be more on top of finances and I want to learn more about like savings and all the big hard stuff that like financial planners do for you. I did some of that, but not a ton. Mm-hmm. I think I made good baby steps, mm-hmm. but I will say that like working with my mom to help figure out her financial stuff has helped me understand what is most important for me to know. And so I feel like I am just repeating that resolution. I don't like numbers. I don't like thinking about hard things. I don't like opening my mail. I don't like paying my bills. All to say, this is very important stuff that you have to do and I have to learn it. So, and I think the fact that I was on so many phone calls with so many people trying to understand these things for my mom and my dad has helped me too. So I signed up for Jen Hatmaker's Me course, which she is offering. And you can go to her website and she has a course that is like three different parts, but one part is financial, just like learning your financial stuff. And it's like, I think 4 15 or 30 minute videos. And then there's like some workbook stuff to do with it. So that's my big goal is that I'm going to watch all those videos and try to kind of get my head around more financial things and make sure that I'm in a good place. If anything happens to Chris, I want to make sure I'm aware of those things. And mm-hmm. so there you go. My other goal that I feel really happy about is getting back into a good morning rhythm, which for me is just mm-hmm. waking up before the kids and drinking coffee with Chris and having time to read. And I haven't been able to do that because of my migraines for the past couple of years. And I'm in a good space with my migraines. I feel mm-hmm. like medication is starting to, I have the right combo of things happening. Mm-hmm. And I just want to get back into that new rhythm where I don't have to stay in bed so long in the morning. So there you go.
You're great, Micah. Cheering you on.
Thank you.
You got Yay. This. Merce, where you at, girl?
Hi. I don't remember. I try to be always kind of easy on myself when it comes to resolutions. So I don't remember what mine were last year, but I'm pretty sure I attained them.
I think you did.
I'm sure you did.
Done and done.
I think I did it. I don't set a low bar, but I feel like I
have no idea what it is, but I'm pretty awesome. I'm so pretty I did it.
Positive that I accomplished it.
Oh my gosh.
this year I chose a word of gentleness, which I feel like is also an action, you know, and maybe mm-hmm. a way of being. I felt like I liked that word because I felt like it was like an umbrella for a lot of things. So gentle, more gentle on myself, on my husband, on my children and others. Like I think coming into 2019, 2020, 2021, we had a lot of change, a lot of different hardships. And then I feel like I also personally came into a space of just wanting to advocate more, not just for Down syndrome, but for people of color. And then that skyrocketed in 2020, right? And then even more so carrying that same posture of wanting to be more outspoken about my thoughts and my journey, but also the weight that comes with advocating and the weight and not pressures. I don't feel pressure, but the weight and conversations even that come with advocating, because then you're kind of opening yourself up to people wanting to talk to you that have opposing views or opposing thoughts or stuff like that, you know, and that all that kind of stuff is draining, right? So I feel like this past year I had a lot of practice with that, and there was, I felt like there was good stuff and then not negative stuff, but maybe even stuff that I'm like, wow, I still want to continue to like, glean from others about social things, about even political things, and read up about things that I believe. So I feel like I would always say I'm not a political person, which I still feel that way, but I still want to know about political things, you know, and still be aware of what's going on when it comes to voting and all that stuff. So I feel like, oh, that was a part of last year. I think I was going to read more. I am not physically reading, but I listen a lot more. Two books. This is all ringing a bell now. I'm like, oh yeah. So I feel like, I don't know. I still just feel like I'm in another season, and I hope that's like, that's life. That's going to be forever of still desiring to learn, to learn, to learn. I just never want to get in an old rut of stuck in her own ways or self-righteous in any way. And I don't know. I just felt like gentleness wanted to bring me back to who I am. And my heart for people, my heart to live like Christ. And what does that mean? And, you know, I felt like last year, even with homeschooling now, more continually, both Sunflower and Rhodes and a tiny bit with Shepherd, that even like finding that gentleness, because it's wearing, homeschooling, doing homework and being a mom is so wearing, that I kind of wanted to like, I've gotten a go, 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 and maybe even a little bit of a strict kind of mindset and like, wait, okay, no do over. Remember, we've chosen this path so that we could go at our own pace. And I just needed a reminder to be more gentle with what we have chosen and how I want to live that out. So gentleness,
gentleness. Thanks, Merce. It's sweet. I love it. I love it. Well, listeners, if you have a word or a resolution that you are already slaying or failing, either way, let us know. Go over to Instagram to our post for this episode and leave it in the comments. What is the thing you are working on for this year? Because then we can be cheering for you too. And let's spend some time this year and always celebrating, which we like to do on the podcast. We call it good news because we love to celebrate each other and we love to celebrate our kiddos, because this is a podcast for the Down syndrome community, even though this episode was mostly just about Mercedes, Mike, and me. So let's see, what is some good news? Mike or Mercedes, do you have something you want to share about your loved one or, and a comment from a listener?
Oh, I have something to share about Ace. I think this is like my ongoing good news. And just as an encouragement to listeners, potty training may look like this for you, just slow and continually moving forward. And I feel like that's the case with Ace, and it's really good. He's really starting to get it, and it's every day he's going in the potty at least once. And awesome. That is something to celebrate, and we're figuring it out. So all of you out there, I think that we can celebrate those very slow motions towards the goal, and we're going to get there.
Good news. Good news. Good job, Ace. Good job, Micah.
Woo. I have a quick one. Sunflower has been working for years to be able to do the monkey bars, and now she just slays it on the monkey bars.
I saw your Instagram.
She's amazing. Got blisters on her hand. Yes. She's just obsessed with the monkey bars.
That's so awesome. Good work, Sunny Mae. That is some good news. I love that. I'll read some good news from a listener. This is a holiday one from Willem
Ackermans.
Says, our son did his New Year's dive into the freezing water of the North Sea, a Dutch tradition. and loved it. Yes. That's so rad. You Dutch. The Dutch,
that's
you guys.
Dutch. Sunflowers Dutch. That's a tradition.
Yeah, get her to jump in that ice cold water.
She doesn't need a friend. I'm not Dutch.
She doesn't need a friend. That's rad. I love that. That's good news. So awesome. Thank you for sharing that with us. We're going to wrap this episode up. We got a new intro, if you didn't notice, and a new outro. We got some new things in this new year. And so one of the things we're going to do is we're going to say thanks, Josh Avis, for editing this episode, and Val Schleter for producing it. Couldn't do without you, Val. Shout out to Val.
Love you, Val.
Love
you,
Val.
Where are you, Val?
If you like this episode, you can share it with your family and friends. And you can subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. Most of the time, it's Apple. But if you are listening and you haven't subscribed, hit that subscribe button. That's really helpful for us. What else, friends? Okay, luckyfewpodcast.com for show notes and links to anything that you heard here that you want to know more about. Follow us on social media at Lucky Few Pod, or anywhere that we, all social media. We are The Lucky Few Pod. And what else, friends?
We can't wait to be back together next week.
We can't wait.
And listener, you're slaying it. We love you. We are cheering for you.
That's it. Bye.
Bye.
Done. We're done.